Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, reading from Granthraj Shaman Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, entitled Vidura's Talks with Maitreya, Text 14. Tan chocha shochan avido nushoche. Hare Katayam Vimukhan Agena Kshinoti Devo Nimishastu Yesham Ayur Vritavad Gati Smritinam Tan cho che sho chan avido nisho che. Hare katayam vimukhan agena. Kshinoti devo nimishastu yesham. Ayur vritavad gatis. Ayur Vita Vadagati Smritinam. Please chant. talk to Jesus, please. All those. Shocha. Pitiable. Shochan. Of the pitiable. Aveda. Ignorant. Anu shoche. I pity. Hare. Of the Lord. Katayam. To the topics. Oh, the topics of, sorry. Vimukan, averse. Agena, because of sinful activities. Shinoti, decaying. Devaha, the Lord. Animishaha, eternal time. Two, but. Yesham, of whom? Ayu, duration of life. Vritta, uselessly. Vada, philosophical speculation. Gati, ultimate goal. Smritinam, of those following different rituals. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. O sage, persons who, because of their sinful activities, are averse to the topics of transcendence, and thus ignorant of the purpose of the Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita, are pitied by the pitiable. I also pity them because I see how their duration of life is spoiled by eternal time, while they involve themselves in presentations of philosophical speculation, theoretical ultimate goals of life, and different modes of ritual. Purport. According to the modes of material nature, there are three kinds of relationships between human beings and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are in the modes of ignorance and passion are averse to the existence of God, or else they formally accept the existence of God in the capacity of an order supplier. Above them are those who are in the mode of goodness. This second class of men believe the Supreme Brahman to be impersonal. They accept the cult of bhakti, in which hearing of Krishna Katha is the first item, as a means and not the end. Above them are those who are pure devotees. They are situated in the transcendental stage above the mode of material goodness. Such persons are decidedly convinced that the name, form, fame, qualities, etc. of the Personality of Godhead are non-different from one another on the Absolute Plane. For them, hearing of the topics of Krishna is equal to meeting with Him face to face. According to this class of men, who are situated in pure devotional service to the Lord, the highest goal of human life is purushartha, devotional service to the Lord, the real mission of life. The impersonalists, because they engage in mental speculation and have no faith in the personality of Godhead, have no business hearing the topics of Krishna. Such persons are pitiable for the first-class pure devotees of the Lord. The pitiable impersonalists pity those who are influenced by the modes of ignorance and passion, but the pure devotees of the Lord take pity on them both, because both waste their most valuable time in the human form of life in false pursuits, sense enjoyment, and mental speculative presentations of different theories and goals of life. Om agana timandasya gananjana shalakoya chakshu unmilitamina tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. Translation again. O sage persons who, because of their sinful activities, are averse to the topics of transcendence, and thus ignorant of the purpose of the Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita, are pitied by the pitiable. I also pity them because I see how their duration of life is spoiled by eternal time while they involve themselves in presentations of philosophical speculation, theoretical ultimate goals of life, and different modes of ritual. Hare Krishna. Okay. Okay. So this translation, persons who because of their sinful activities are averse to the topics of transcendence. In a nectar class in by Srila Prabhupada, he was speaking on nectar of devotion. And he was saying that the very fact that we even have a material body is a sign of sin. It's actually superfluous to the eternal spirit soul to have a material body, you know, gross and subtle. And I heard from my god brother, Sundarini Thai Prabhu, last time he was here, he gave a class, and he was saying how in archery they have this term sin, you know, archery, like bow and arrow. When they aim at hitting the bullseye, if you actually miss the target, it's called sin. It means you missed the mark. So in that way, we can see that sin actually means we're missing the goal. We're missing the target of life. We've diverted from the narrow and the straight path, and we hit another object other than the bullseye. So to the degree one is engrossed in materialism, to that degree, he will be averse to hearing Krishna Katha. It won't be relishable to him. And that person will have no interest. Just like in Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami gives the example that someone who is afflicted by the jaundice of ignorance will have no taste in the most pleasurable subject matter. And he says someone with jaundice, when he eats sugar, candy, it's very bitter. It doesn't taste very good because he's in an unnatural state. He's unhealthy. But the cure of jaundice, the cure of ignorance, is to keep taking that sweetness, to take that sugar over and over again. Even though at first it becomes bitter, it's like medicine. And then you become cured from the jaundice and you start to taste like a normal person again. So in the same way, we're all coming from the spiritual world. We're from that highest dimension. So why is it that people in the conditioned state they don't have any taste in this, even though it's their actual nature? Their nature is to relish Krishna's name and to serve Krishna, but it's distasteful because they're in a disease condition. Just like if you had two magnets, if you had them on one side, you know, on one side they're attracted together. You know, they come together very easily. So that can be compared to the soul who's not conditioned. He wants to hear about Krishna. He wants to serve Krishna. But if you flip the magnets around, no matter what you do, you can't touch them together. So we experience this out when we're on Sankirtan. Sometimes people are just so engrossed in materialism. Just, I remember like a week ago, or a couple weeks ago, Bhrigupati Prabhu tried to approach this one guy, and he just started running away from Bhrigupati and screaming, "Leave me alone, get away from me." Remember that? And like when we're out on Harinam Sankirtan, people sometimes they get even angry. We're just chanting, and like objectively speaking, what's wrong with people just playing some music and singing? But because it's the holy names, it's purifying. So those who are demoniac, they'll close their ears, they'll look at us nasty, they'll even cuss at us. And so this is actually proof of our philosophy, that the holy names are pure, because it'll actually expose the impurities within those who are conditioned. So there's different types of material attachments. Some are very obvious, gross material attachments. I'm attached to a wife and house and money and etc. But there's also subtle attachments, name, fame. We want to be famous. We want people to recognize us. We want to be better than others. These are subtle attachments, fault finding. So, in Sanskrit, desire is, the word for desire is kama. Could also be translated into lust. Lust doesn't necessarily mean sexual lust, although that is a big part of lust, but lust just means wanting to enjoy for yourself. So someone who has kama in their heart, who has lust in their heart, they're called a kami, someone who has kama. So there's different types of kamis also. There's the bhukti kami, just like gross sense gratification. And there's also the mukti kami, someone who is desiring liberation. But that's just another side of the same coin. One wants to enjoy, one wants to get free from the material world. This is still a material desire. Real desirelessness is being in our natural constitutional position as a servant of Krishna. You know, one may say that, well, that's still a desire, but no, that's actually just our natural state. So Srila Prabhupada is exposing, and this verse, Srimad Bhagavatam, is exposing the different philosophical speculations, theoretical ultimate goals of life, and different modes of ritual, at all, you know, all of them being faulty. We have the mystic yogis. Those, they may even seem austere, and they may seem very advanced. And one with an untrained eye may mistake certain paths to be spiritual, but actually it's also material. They may be living in the Himalayas somewhere, they may be having no clothes and performing severe austerities, but what's the ultimate goal? That's what we have to question. What's the philosophy and what's the goal? If the goal is mystic powers, that's material art. It's just manipulating material elements. Material civilization, gross materialists, they also achieve most of the mystic powers just in a different way. You levitate, we can fly in an airplane. You walk on water, we can go on a boat. You want to become as small as an atom and go into a rock, some yogis do that. There was a few times just in the past week I drove through a tunnel. So I also attained that same mystic power. And one time, one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada about some swami or some philosopher, I forget his name. And Srila, Prabhupada, what do you think about this particular person? And his answer was, well, what's his philosophy? You know, what's the goal? So that's what we have to question. Whatever path it is, what is their goal? What's our goal? What's the philosophy? What's their philosophy? If it's any short than pure devotion to God, then it's faulty, because it's mixed with selfishness. It's tinted with selfishness. I, me, and mine. I want to get free from suffering. I want to travel to other planets through, you know, astral projection, or I want mystic powers. It's all having to do with me, myself. or extended selfishness. My family, my nation, my country, my planet. It's all me in the center. So egocentricity. The Buddhists, their ultimate goal is to basically get free from suffering, to annihilate your existence, to become nothing. Srila Prabhupada said that they say everything is zero, but yet they write so many books on zero, and they give so many classes on zero. The Mayavadis, they want to become God. Prabhupada exposes them in this philosophy, as he often does throughout his books, that the second class of men believe the Supreme Brahman to be impersonal. They accept the cult of bhakti, in which hearing of Krishna Katha is the first item, as a means and not the end. So they actually, in one sense, take advantage of Krishna, not in a good, in a negative way. It's like you become my guru, and then I kill you, and I become guru. So I worship Krishna, and then that's supposed to bring me to the ultimate supreme Brahman, and then get rid of Krishna. Ultimately, Krishna doesn't exist. This is their philosophy. Panchopasana. You can worship any of the demigods, Ganesh, Durga, Krishna, whatever. It's all the same, and you attain the supreme destination. And Prabhupada, throughout his purports, we should all read Prabhupada's books, exposes the fault of this philosophy. And obviously, materialism, gross materialism, is just an obvious fact that that's not the way to go. Especially if you accept the non-eternality of the material body and the eternal soul. Obviously, we don't want to engage in sense gratification. But Srila Prabhupada also, in this purport, he exposes the faults of even theists, some of the theists. Srila Prabhupada is not sectarian. We should not think that where's the devotees say that Krishna consciousness is the highest thing, oh, they're sectarian. But no, it's not like that. It's compared to, you know, if you had the best car, say, I don't know what the best car is nowadays, but let's just say, for example, like a Lamborghini or something. And they have that car has like the best engine and the best tires and everything like that. And someone just objectively says, I happen to have a Lamborghini and it's the best car out there. And someone can say, no, you're sectarian. All the cars are the same. I got a Honda Civic and I got a whatever Toyota Sienna. And why is your Lamborghini better than mine? But just practically speaking, if you study it from an objective point of view, a Lamborghini is better. So it's not that we are sectarian, my path is better than yours, but rather we looked at all the paths, we studied all of them, and we chose the best one, the one with the fullest knowledge, the one with the absolute truth. All other philosophies may have relative truths, may have some truths to their philosophy, but Krishna consciousness is the whole thing. It contains the absolute truth. Relative truth means it's true in some circumstances, true in certain ways, just like maybe true to myself, but not true to another person. Just like in the North, you know, like in the South Pole or somewhere where it's really cold. If a polar bear can speak English, if you ask a polar bear, is it cold? They'll say, no, it's warm. It's warm outside. But you ask a human being, is it cold? It's freezing. They're in the same weather. So that's relative truth. Relatively to the polar bear, it's warm. Relatively to the human, it's cold. But the absolute truth is that it's 20 degrees outside Fahrenheit. That's the absolute truth. So the absolute truth is Krishna consciousness. And many of the other paths and other philosophies, they may seem true. And Prabhupada says this in a purport, that sometimes untruth seems like truth because it emanates from the supreme truth. In the light of the Bhagavad, he gives the example of how the materialist can mistake the material body for the self. We feel happiness, we're enjoying, but actually it's just the soul that's shining through the body and the soul is enjoying. He gives the example just like the cloud at night from our vision, from our point of view, may be getting in the way of the moon. And if you didn't have any idea that the moon exists beyond the cloud, you would think that the cloud is the source of the moonlight. But actually, it's the moonlight shining through the cloud. So in the same way, it's the soul shining through the body that gives the body life, that makes us think that we are the body. But in the same way, the absolute truth, Krishna consciousness, Krishna himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is that light. And there may be other philosophies that have tinges of truths that kind of cloud the light of Krishna. And if you don't understand what's behind that clouded philosophy that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that all truth comes from, you'll take that cloud as the absolute truth. You'll take that philosophy as the absolute truth. But we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya has a plan. He has a plan for everybody. He liberates the Buddhist. We know that story where the Buddhist disciples become the guru of their guru. And what happened was there were some Buddhists that Lord Chaitanya came in contact with. And they were actually going to trick Lord Chaitanya. They gave him some unmentionable foodstuffs. And some bird picked up the plate. It was like a metal plate. And dropped it on the head of the guru, the Buddhist guru, and knocked him out. Knocked him out cold. He fell on the ground. And the disciples came to Lord Chaitanya, and they were like, please, sir, please help our guru. He got knocked out. And Lord Chaitanya said, okay, you go to his ear, and you chant the Maha Mantra. And so this is what the disciples did. So the disciples became the guru of their guru, and then they all became Vaishnavas. And the same way, Prakashananda Saraswati, Lord Chaitanya, liberates the supreme Mayavadis, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And so in this world, especially in the West, you don't really find any like really pukka Mayavadis. But the Mayavad conception is all-pervading. We have New Age philosophy. Most people, they're either gross materialists or they have some misconception in New Age philosophy. But Lord Chaitanya has a plan for all of them. And Vishnu Jan Swami, he gives the example of a fisher's net. He calls it Lord Chaitanya's net that nobody can actually escape from. Just like if you're on a ship, you know, the fishermen, they throw this huge net. Could be like a quarter mile long. And these fish have no idea. They're just going about their day. And all of a sudden, they're getting lifted up out of the water, and there's a huge sack of fish caught in the net. So in the same way, people are going about their lives, just seemingly minding their own business, and Lord Chaitanya catches them. The holy names, the books, prasadam, people living in the vicinity of the temple. I forget the exact quote, but something like, 10-mile radius of any Vishnu temple, people get a Gyata Sukriti just by walking through it or living by it. Jagai and Madai, this is a very good verse that kind of demonstrates the story of Jagai and Madai. Persons who, because of their sinful activities, are averse to the topics of transcendence and thus ignorant of the purpose of the Mahabharata are pitied by the pitiable. Jagai and Madai were actually asked by Lord Nityananda to chant Hare Krishna. And they got angry, and they actually hit him in the head with a pot. But still, Gaura Nitai delivered them, and Srila Prabhupada says that everybody in this material world is more or less like a Jagai and Madai. And the whole idea is that the more books we give out, we flood the world with books, we flood the world with the holy names. Some people will be delivered in this lifetime, and some people will be delivered in the future. So the idea is the conditioned souls, they come in contact with devotional service in some way. Say, for example, just for book distribution example, they get a book, they give a donation, they never read it. They leave the book in their house. Then they leave their body. From that, they get a Gyata Sukriti. Gyata or Gyan means knowledge. Agyan means without knowledge. So Agyata means without your knowledge, you get Sukriti. you get spiritual credit in your transcendental bank account. And so in the future, it becomes that much easier to perform devotional service. And the more agyata sukriti that piles up, it's just a matter of time. It's just like putting the last a straw of hay on the, you know, on the haystack of, you know, of a camel. It breaks the camel's back. So it's just a matter of time when that person becomes a full-time sadhaka. So we flood the world with books over and over again for many, many years. And as decades go by, people will become more receptive, more receptive. Those people who got books lifetimes ago or decades ago, they eventually become devotees. And like that, throughout this 10,000-year golden age, there will be people who will be becoming devotees and going back to Godhead like that. So Srila Prabhupada gives this purport in a song by Narottam Das Thakur. He said that if one knows the secret and says, let me dive deep into the ocean of transit in the transcendental loving movement of Lord Chaitanya, he immediately becomes one of the confidential associates of Radha and Krishna. So by giving your life to Lord Chaitanya, it's like an automatic thing. Naturally, from the mercy of the acharyas, you become an associate of Radha and Krishna. And he also, in another purport, Srila Prabhupada says that if one serves Lord Gauranga, Nityananda himself cleanses that person's heart and brings him back to Vrindavan. So, in this purport, I'll just say a couple more things and then we'll be done. So, Prabhupada says here that the ultimate goal, the absolute goal, is devotional service, loving Krishna, seeing him face to face. And I remember Mother Nidra, saintly Mother Nidra in Denver, she was explaining how it's just a matter of time until every single devotee will see Krishna face to face. So we should treat devotees very respectful and just knowing that this person is actually in the pastimes of Krishna. Only time separates them from that. And only time separates us from that. And anybody who comes in contact with devotional service through our collective endeavor, it's just a matter of time till they're face to face with Krishna. And this is one example I'm about to show you here on this video. This lady, so what happened was Bhrigupati gave Maharaj Das a list of contacts to call and try to sell Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita sets to people on Bhrigupati Prabhu's contact list on his phone, or people who have contacted the BBT, the BBT mailing list. So there's this person that bought a Chaitanya Charitamrita set over the phone by Maharaj Das, and we were going to send it through the mail. So we wrote her this person's address and their name, and it was in San Luis Obispo, which is about 4 hours up north. So circumstances had it that somehow or another, we ended up in San Luis Obispo, even though we didn't really even plan on that. And then we realized that, oh wait, this the Chaitanya Charitamrita said that we're going to send out in the mail, it's in San Luis Obispo, so might as well just drop it off at this person's address. So somehow or another, we tried to call them. I didn't even know if it was a lady or a man. I didn't know what to expect. The person's name is Ruth. So we went to this person's address. We rolled up in our big Sprinter van, and we parked in the parking, you know, in the driveway. And this little old lady comes out, and she's very bewildered why there's a huge van in her driveway. And we come out in Dhoti and Kurta and Tilak and everything, and we say, we have a delivery for you. We have this Chaitanya Charitamrita set. So I don't have the whole video, unfortunately, because I didn't know how awesome of an experience this was going to be. So I didn't videotape the whole thing. I only got like a little bit. But if I videotaped the whole thing, it was so amazing. We gave her the Chaitanya Charitamrita set. And then we brought out a Bhagavatam. And we asked, she bought a Bhagavatam set right on the spot. We gave her like Krishna book. We gave her basically all the books that she didn't already have. So she, I don't know how long ago, a couple years ago or something, she found Bhagavad Gita as it is and Science of Self-Realization in a thrift store. She bought it for a couple dollars. And ever since then, she fell in love with Srila Prabhupada's books. She wrote to the BBT. She has a BTG subscription, Back to Godhead magazine, that comes every month. And so we're talking to her. She's very excited. She goes back into her house to grab the books she has. And it's Bhagavad Gita with all these bookmarks and all these notes she has and highlights and the Science of Self-Realization. And she said, for the book Science of Self-Realization, as far as I'm concerned, this is the best book in the world. This is my Bible. I keep it with me all the time. And she was raised a Christian. But she said, Jesus is a man. He's a very great man, taught about God, but still he's a man. But your books actually teach about God. I love your books, and I wanted more. So I'm very happy. Actually, the day before Maharaj Das called her, she was praying. She was chanting the Hare Krishna mantra that she learned from the books, and she was praying for some guidance, some direction. And the next day, Maharaj Das calls her and asks her if she wants more books. And she felt like it was an answer to her prayer. And then a week later, we come to her house with Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and she has never met devotees before. This is her first time actually meeting, like, practicing devotees. And so this is a video of her. It's a very short clip, but maybe you can play it. Oh, she's 85 years old. Yeah. Yeah. But maybe you can play it, whoever's in charge of... Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, no, the other. Yeah, this one. That's good. You can. Well. So she called the other day, actually, Monday. We were distributing books in Riverside, yeah. And she called because Bhrigupati Prabhu and Bhakti Mills sent her some japa beads and japa bag and some other devotional paraphernalia. And she just called to say, you know, thank you, and she appreciates it, and it was a nice surprise. And so we're getting her in contact with devotees in San Luis Obispo. So it's very amazing, you know. Sankirtan is life. This is life. So please accept my humble obeisances and all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Shai.